Let's do this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, that we're in this together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come on a Sunday morning, be it in this building, in the backyard, or online this morning. We just thank you that we can gather together in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask that you would be here in these next few moments. Lord, I just pray for the miracle of the working of the Holy Spirit to open our minds to think a new way, that our hearts would be soft and receptive as the seed is being sown today, the seed of your word, that it would fall upon good soil, that it would fall upon good hearts. And Lord, I just ask that you would move in these moments. And Lord, that you would make all the difference in the world because you're here today. How many people believe God's here today? He's here today. He's wherever you are this morning. He's right there. And we just want to thank you, Father, for all you're doing. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. So how is everyone's weekend going? Is everybody having a good weekend? Good, good. How's your week going? Are you everybody ready for a new week? Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to preach shorter than usual. Wink, wink, right? How many people are ready for preaching shorter than usual? Okay. So that's what we're going to do. So I've really been intentional this week of taking a lot of information, because information is never the issue. It's condensing it to a way that we can all engage in it. So here we go. I got my, we're ready to roll. We are ready to roll. Okay. So here we go. This morning, what we're going to do is we're going to actually begin with a video that I totally forgot about, but I want you to direct your attention to the screen. And we got this great video that I want you to look at.
Lately, it seems that we're getting more and more confused about what a church actually is. So let's take some time to set the record straight. Church is not a building, though a building can be used by a church. Church is not a denomination, though a set of beliefs should be important to a church. Church is not about Sunday, though a church should not forsake meeting together. Church is not about one person or personality, though every church should be pastored. And church is not about size or growth, though every church is called to make disciples. So don't think of church as an address or a location, but rather think of church as mobile and on the move. Don't think of church as something built or planted, but rather think of church as something deployed. Don't think of church as where you are for an hour each week, but rather what you are every day of the week, because the church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Feet shouldn't sit still. Hands shouldn't be idle. Feet go. Hands do. This is the church. Church isn't what you're sitting through right now, because you are the church. Now go and be the church.
Video. Isn't that a great video? Just a great reminder that we are the church, not just meeting, but we are the hands, we're the feet, we're going out this week, and we're going to make a difference. So as you can see, we're going to continue this series that we're in right now called This is the Church. I'm not sure how many more weeks we're going to be going in this series. We're going to take a little break next week, and we're going to have not only one special guest, we're going to have like six or seven special guests next week. It's going to be a real creative service, so I want to encourage you to be here next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be out of the box. It's going to be totally different than we're used to, and I just want to say, hey, make a point to be here next week, okay? But our key verse for this series that we're in called This is the Church, the key verse is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. And the context of this verse is very important. You need to understand that Jesus had 12 disciples, okay? And one day, Jesus is having this discussion with his 12 disciples, okay? And here's what happens. He throws out a little pop quiz. How many people love pop quizzes? How many people say, I don't like pop quizzes? That's me. Don't do it. Well, anyway, Jesus is sitting in this with his disciples, and he says, hey, you guys, I have a pop quiz. And really, the pop quiz is made up of two questions. And I want to look at the second question that Jesus asked his disciples. He asked his disciples directly. He says, now, who do you say that I am? So he's looking these guys in the eyes, and he says, hey, You told me what people think of me. Now, who do you say that I am? And I want to get everyone's attention real quick here this morning, and I want to make this super duper clear. That is the ultimate question for each and every single one of us. Do you get that this morning? That is the question that every single person must ask, okay? And that is, who do you say that Jesus is? That is a super duper important question. And it's not only a verbal answer that may come from our mind, but more importantly, it's an answer that comes from our heart. Because when we answer that correctly, how many people know it changes our heart, it changes our life, it changes our conduct, it changes everything about us, okay? So that was the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter, who usually was a guy that would speak before he would think, this time is the opposite. He gets it right. And the reason why he gets it right is because God shows him the answer. And this is what Peter says to this question. He says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. And that word means you are the anointed one. You're the one sent by God. And he goes, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And God showed him the answer. And here's been my prayer for us as a church, that God is showing each and every one of you, each and every one of us, who Jesus is, okay? So it's not an intellectual answer. It's really a posture of the heart. Who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter answers the question spot on. And then Jesus, in a couple verses later, verse 18, he says these words, which is our main text for this series. Jesus says, now I say to you, he's speaking directly to Peter, I say to you that you are Peter. And he goes on to say that means rock. And he goes on to say, and upon this rock, I will build my church. Can we all say that word together? Church. And then he gives this amazing promise about the church that we cannot miss. And he says, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Meaning that no matter what hell throws at the church, how many people know the church will always go forward? We need to understand that I don't care what's going on in our world today, the church will always go forward. How do I know it? Because right here in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus gives me a promise. And we stand on the promise that the powers of hell will not conquer the church. So it's right here in Matthew 16, 18, that is the first time we see the use of the word church used in the entire Bible. Right there, Matthew 16, 18. But here's the deal. This is just the first of actually 114 times that this word church would be used throughout the rest of the New Testament, okay? So it's going to be used plenty of times. It's introduced here, but throughout the rest of the New Testament, it's going to be used 114 times. And here's the cool thing. There's on a couple occasions in the New Testament that the name church is given, it's given more detail, more of a name of what it's all about. And one of those occasions is right here when the Apostle Paul, he says this about the church. He describes the church as this. He says, hey, church, you are the family of God. So I want to talk about that today. He says, you are the family of God. That's what one of the descriptions of the church is. You are the family of God. And Paul brings that up in Ephesians 2:19. He says, so now you Gentiles. Well, you need to understand that before this, these words were spoken, Gentiles were far away from God. They had no hope. They were castaways. But Peter or Paul says this, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers. Hey guys, you're no longer foreigners. He says, now you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. And he says, not only that, now you're members of God's family. So I love that. Paul is instructing Gentiles. By the way, if you're not a Jew today, you're a Gentile. And he's instructing all the Gentile audience that now, hey, because of what Jesus did, now you're a part of God's family. He's making it clear the church is the family of God. And I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to talk about three things this morning about the family of God that I think that we best understand. We need to understand these three things about the church. So is everybody ready? Is everybody ready? Okay. Let's understand these three things about the church. They're super important, And I pray that the Holy Spirit's at work right now, because this first one is a big thing that every person in this room, outside, online, needs to understand. First thing you need to understand is, when we talk about the family of God, we entered the family of God through a process. And the process that we enter through into the family of God is this process called adoption. Adoption. So I want everybody to know right off the bat that you're not brought into the family of God because you're a good person. Is everybody cool with that? You're not brought into the family of God because your good works outweigh your bad works. You're a good neighbor. You're a good employee. Those are all great things. Don't get me wrong. But that's not how you're brought into the family of God. You're brought into the family of God through a process called adoption. And we see this very, very clear in Scripture. It's not my idea. Ephesians 1:5, Paul writes these words. He says, God decided in advance. He decided to adopt us into his own family and to bring us to himself through Jesus Christ. So what I want to do just for the next few minutes is I kind of want to break this verse down just a little. And I want to break it down by first seeing that, hey, we've been adopted into the family. We are children of God. And the key word is the word adopt. So what I did this week is I knew I was going to be preaching this, obviously, so I began to do a lot of research, reading on this word of adoption. And I love one of the definitions of adoption that I read. It's really good. What does that word adoption mean? It means the act of leaving one's natural family, and now you enter the privileges and the responsibility of another family. So let's look at that real quick. It's the act of leaving one's natural family. So in the physical realm, adoption is all about you leave your natural family. And usually it's because there's some form of, can we say, dysfunction. Maybe something's just not what it should be. There's a negative. There's some form of dysfunction. So what happens is you leave your natural family, and what happens, you enter into the privileges and the responsibilities that now you're in this new family. You were born into this family, but now you're in this brand new family. And in this brand new family, you have privileges. And in this brand new family, now you have responsibilities. And I was thinking about adoption, and as I continued to read, I realized that people who adopt children, that's a lot of responsibility. It's actually a lot of work. And I was looking at the financial side of that, and I studied, and I found out that people who adopt children, usually an adoption, on average, costs somewhere between $40,000 to $50,000. So if you're going to adopt a child, there's a financial responsibility there. There's a financial obligation there, and it's going to cost you something. There's a price that has to be paid. And in the natural, it's somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000. $1,000. That's in a natural adoption. So now what I want to do is I want to look at adoption from the perspective of somebody who has said yes to Jesus, a Christ follower. And that is that as a Christ follower, what we're doing is we're leaving our natural family. You're like, okay, Mike, what in the world are you talking about, my natural family? Well, if you take a look at Scripture and you go all the way back to Genesis, we see that the first father of creation was a guy named Adam, okay? So really throughout the Scripture tells us that we're born into the family of Adam, okay? And here's the deal about being born into the family of Adam. Our natural condition is that we're separated from God. All those who have been born into the family of Adam, which is all of us, have been born into this place where we're separated. There's a chasm that exists between us and God. And the reason behind the chasm is one word. It's the word we don't like to talk about much. It's the word sin. The Scripture actually says, because Adam sinned, we've all sinned. And as a result of that sin, we're separated from God. That is the family that when you were conceived, you were born into, okay? But now, as a believer in Christ, we enter into a new family. We enter into this family where there's both privileges and responsibility of being a part of this new family, this family of God. So I want to make sure everyone has this right. In your spiritual condition, you're made up of body, soul, and spirit. In your spiritual condition, you were born into a natural family apart from God. There was a chasm. There was hostility. There was wrath. But now we're brought into a new family. It's called the family of God. And in that family, there's responsibilities and privileges. And here's what I want to make sure that every single person, don't lose me on this point because it's super duper important. And that is, this adoption into God's family is made possible only one way. Has everybody got me this morning? And the only way that we can be brought into this new family is through the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure everybody hears that in this room, outside, online. The only way you could be brought into the family of God is through Jesus. And I want to let you know, this spiritual adoption came with a high price. It wasn't cheap. I mean, you think about it in the perspective of God the Father. How many people know the price he paid is told to us in John 3:16? It says, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. How many people know that was a big price? God didn't have this surplus of sons and say, well, oh, you're not doing a good job. You go be the sacrifice. He had one son, and he gave his only son. That's the price of adoption. But there was even a higher price of adoption, and that came from his son, Jesus. And you say, Mike, what was the price that Jesus paid? Well, let me show you. That's the price. That's the price that Jesus paid. He gave his life. And I want to use my words very carefully here, and I want you to hear this, that his life wasn't taken. No. He could have defended himself. You know what I mean? He could have called on all the angels. But here's the deal. He knew the will of the Father. He knew why he came, and he gave his life. Why? So we could be adopted into a new family. So we leave our old family. I love it. This is great news, guys. I know you're smiling behind those masks, okay? The good news is you've left your original family, and now you're a part of this new family because of what Jesus has done. And here's the deal. We have a choice. Every person that's walking the face of the earth, past, present, and future, has a choice. And that choice is really this. What will you do with Jesus? The choice goes back to what Jesus asked Peter in our first verse. Who do you say that I am? And it's by answer correctly. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the sacrifice. You are the one who came for my salvation. It's through making that choice. Now you leave that old, sinful, broken down family that's going nowhere, that's hurting. And now you're brought into this new family. So here's the question I have for you today. Is everybody ready for the question? Say, yeah, Mike, I'm ready. Here's the question. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And I know, and I was almost like, oh, that might be a little edgy, but here's what I want you to think. Who is your dad? Who is your father? Are you still in the family of Adam, which is really the evil one? Satan, or are you in the family where God is your father? So I want you to think about that, not only today, but throughout this week. Who is my daddy? Who is my father? What family am I a part of? And the only way that you can be brought into the family of God is through this process of adoption, which is only made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So that's my first point. The second thing we need to understand about being a part of this family or children of God is simply this, and I want to say this loud and clear. As a part of the family of God, I want to let you know that you don't have to walk around in the dumps. You don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to walk around in defeat. You don't have to walk around in hopelessness. You don't have to walk around in discouragement. But I want to let you know, as a child of God, you have been given the blessings of your Father to enjoy. Amen? We don't have to walk around like the rest of the world thinking, oh, what's going to happen? What is going on? I want to let you know it's all in his hands, and he has blessings for you. Let's look at this verse real quick. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Let me stop right now. I want to let you know that verb, who has blessed us, is not future tense. It is past tense, meaning it has been done. It has been determined. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united in Christ. So I want to tell everyone today, I have an amazing news for you today, and that is, if you're a child of God If you've been adopted into his family, this verse tells us that God has blessed us. Like I said, that's past tense, indicating that it's already occurred. So I want everybody to listen carefully, regardless of how you feel today. And some of us feel like we're survivors from a prison camp right now. Or regardless of what you see or what you hear going on around you, I want to let you know, the fact is, everyone, you are blessed. Amen? You are blessed. So may I suggest that we begin to celebrate our blessing, that we begin to live in the blessing and not how we feel, not what we hear, what we see. And a great place to start is by celebrating the fact that, guys, we have an amazing Father. We have an amazing Father. We have a Father who is good all the time. We have a Father who provides every one of our needs. Isn't that his name, Jehovah Jireh, saying, I'll provide every one of your needs. I want to let you know, in this season of craziness, God, our Father, will meet every single one of your needs. We don't have to live in worry. We don't have to live in fear. We have a great Father who's blessing us. He's going to provide. He's our healer. He heals us of our disease. He's our peace. We have peace that surpasses all understanding. He is our strength. So when you get weak, and I know there's times this week I've been weak because I've read some of the emails and I've heard some of the newscasts, and I'm like, oh, not again. And God keeps reminding me. He keeps reminding me, Mike, I'm your Father. Mike, I'm going to take care of you. Mike, I'm going to bless you. Mike, I'm your comfort. I'm your rock. I'm the one who does not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to let you know, these blessings that are ours are not based upon performance. We live in a culture today where everything is performance-based, that if I act and have a perfect week with God, then I'm blessed. I want to let you know, it's not based upon performance. It's based upon who he is. He's a good, good Father, and all the blessings are ours, and we need to walk in that. I love what Joyce Meyer says, and I think our culture needs to hear this more than ever before. Joyce Meyer says these words, we are too blessed to be stressed. And I think we just need to get over it, get over the fact that there's so much, and realize and keep our eyes on the right focus, the correct focus, to keep our eyes on the Father, not on all the newscasts and all the negativity that's coming at every direction faster and faster every day. We need to realize, hey, I'm not in an old family. I'm a child of God. I've been adopted. I'm in this new family. Everything I need, God is going to provide. Everything that's ahead, God already knows about. He's going to take care of. He has me in the palm of his hands. He is a good, good Father. And we need to realize that we're blessed. So here's my question for you on this point is this. Question is, are you counting your blessings? Or are you looking at all the things that are going wrong? And I think some of us, what we need to do, catch me here, gang, what we need to do is we need to begin to speak blessings. We need to begin to talk and verbalizing. Sometimes I walk through the day and I always say, if people are looking at me, they think I'm nuts, okay? Because there's times I walk and I say, you know, God, you're my Father. God, you're my provider. God, you're my sustainer. God, you're going to take care of me. God, you go before me. God, you're going to keep me healthy. You're going to keep me whole. And we need to realize we're a child of God, and we need to begin to speak it out. I believe there's something in the power of the spoken word. And we got to watch what we're saying. So many of us, including myself, we got to begin to listen that we're not spewing out negative. We're not spewing out defeat. We're not spewing out that, hey, the world is falling apart. We need to begin to speak life. We need to begin to speak victory. We need to begin to speak our promises. We need to begin to speak the blessings. Amen? Can anybody tell I'm excited this morning? Because here's what I'm seeing, gang. I'm seeing that the church is almost falling into the same pattern of the world today. And I don't know about you, but this week I've just felt like there's a heaviness over our city. And it's not cloud cover. I just feel like people are just, they're down. There's a heaviness. They just seem like when's this ever going to end? I mean, we're in the month 6, going on to month 7. When's this going to end? And I just really think God is saying, hey, you're my children. You don't have to live like that. I've got something so much better than that. I want to let you know you have hope. I want to let you know, and everybody listen to this, your best days are ahead. Do you hear me this morning? I want everybody to, don't say it out loud, but say it self-talk right now. My best days are ahead. And that's the truth if you're in the family of God. If you put your faith in Christ, the truth is my best days are ahead. Regardless of what happens to me today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, I walk with a confidence. Children of God, we should walk with a confidence, with the assurance that, guys, God's got us. I mean, how many of you are fathers in this room watching online today? How many people know that the nature of a father is to do what? To protect, to keep, to provide for his children. And God is a perfect father who knows no evil, who desires good things for all of us. And folks, we got to keep our eyes on our Father and not what's going on around us. So I want us to begin to walk in victory. I was talking to a teacher at the high school just yesterday morning. We were having coffee, and he's saying, man, the kids, you can just tell it in the kids in class, they're afraid to speak. It's not the same as it used to be. They're afraid to talk from behind the mask, and it's just this spirit kind of coming over the school. And folks, our world, it's hurting, but folks, we are the difference makers. God wants to use us, and we're his children. We'll talk about that a little more, but I want us to just begin to count our blessings throughout the day. Every time you think of all the things that may be going wrong, why don't you stop and change that verbiage and begin to speak forth blessing? God, I'm healthy. God, I ate today. God, I have a roof over my head. God, I know my future. God, you are good. And I just want to encourage us. Some of us are just dragging. I don't believe it's God's will for us to drag. I believe it's God's will for us to soar and go forward. And here's the third thing, and we're going to be done here. As a part of God's family, I want to let you know family members have responsibilities. Didn't the definition say you have rights and you have responsibilities? I want to let you know if you're in the family of God, you left the family of Adam, your sinful family, and come into this new family, it's not for you now just to say, okay, I'm good. No, it's for you to say, hey, I have responsibilities. And I think we have responsibilities to two groups. First of all, we have a responsibility to those who are outside the family of God. And I really want you to hear this today. I believe that if we're in the family of God, we have a responsibility. And one of those responsibilities is I believe that God wants us to bless those outside the family. And I think of no greater time than the time we're living in is for us to be dispensers of blessing. Be dispensers of blessing. Be dispensers of hope. I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and there's this pastor who is pastoring a church out in Washington, D.C., and God is doing amazing things through his ministry. And I love one of the quotes he said on the podcast, and I want to share it with you this morning because this is the mentality that I want us as a church to have. And he said this. He says, we're not here just to build a big church. He said, we're here to bless a city. And I sent that on to a couple people in my text group, and I'm sure they're getting sick of those texts, but they're going to continue to come because I want us to realize at Journey Church Gang, we're not here to build a big church. More than that, we're here to bless the city. And you see that in Jeremiah chapter 29, we're here to bless the city. Could it be that Journey Church is situated right on this corner of Cascade and Valley View, not to be the biggest church in town or our state or our region? Could it be that God's calling us, hey, Journey Church, I want to use you in this season to bless the community that I put you in. I didn't place you there by accident. It was a part of my sovereign will that I would put you on that corner by a college campus. Why? To be a blessing towards people. And I really believe that God wants us to be a blessing to this city. And I really believe that we as a church, we need to be more intentional. And if you were to ask me, how do you think we failed during the closing of our church? Because I thought there was a lot of great victories. I thought we did a lot of great things as a church. But as I look back on those, I think it was 14 months that we were closed, There was one area where I thought we missed it, and I was like, ooh, we missed it. And that is that we didn't really use that as an opportunity to bless River Falls. What could we have done? And I don't have any ideas right off the top of my head. What could we have done to bless our city? I drove by one church, and every day they had food available. You could pick up lunch, a lunch bag, and take it into your day. And I looked at that church, and I thought, ooh, we missed it. And what I would like for us to see is, we don't know how long this is going to continue, but could it be that God wants us to be responsible? How are we going to bless River Falls? Because it's not just about us being a big church. It's about us blessing the city in which God has placed us. And you say, Mike, well, how can we bless River Falls? Well, I want to let you know we can bless River Falls. I think there's two ways, and that is by serving and by meeting needs. They really go together, serving and meeting needs. Could it be that when we begin to see needs that we say, God, we'll step up? And that's why we're asking people to give each and every week in the offering. See, the offering is not just about what goes on in here and taking care of the logistics of inside here. The offering is so that we can fulfill our vision. And I want to let you know, this is the case with all good churches. Their vision is much bigger than their current finances. And I want to let you know that's the case in this church. We have this vision that's bigger than our finances. And we just need everybody just to step it up so we can begin to bless the city, so that we can begin to be the lighthouse, that we can begin to be the church that if we were to burn down, God forbid, if this building were to be leveled off and you came by and say, what happened? Well, there was a fire last night. And the city said, what happened? There was a fire last night. Here's what we would want the people of this city to say. We're going to miss that place. We're going to miss them. That was a church that wasn't all about getting big and you come into our services, but they don't do anything. They were here to bless. And that's what the family of God is all about. There's responsibilities, gang. And the responsibility, there's people far from God who don't even know about a family called the family of God. And we need to bring them into this place that's wonderful. But the second responsibility that we have as the family of God is this. We are responsible to those who are inside the family. I want to let you know, we are responsible for one another. In the scripture, it says that you are my brother and you are my sister. What this is today is God is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters of a spiritual family. And what we need to do is we need to be responsible for one another. So here's what I'm going to do right now is I want to engage you for 60 seconds. And I want you to answer this question. You can answer to yourself or you can talk with your neighbor. I want you to answer this question. How can we be responsible for our family members? What can we do to be responsible? So if you want to talk to your neighbor, that would be great. But if you just want to think about it, we're going to start this clock right now. Why don't we start for the next 60 seconds? Think about how can I be responsible for my church family member? Let's discuss this. Let's go. This is where you talk. Okay. How can we be responsible for each other? How can we be responsible? Come on. Maybe you need to answer it this way. How can we be responsible in your immediate family? Now, the same thing is true of our spiritual family. Hey, guys, hang in there. We got about 6 minutes of this sermon. You're almost there. Let's go. How can we be responsible for one another? We're all a part of this great family. Got 6 seconds. Okay, let me ask you, did anybody come up with an answer? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand real quick. Anybody come up? I want about three people to just talk out loud. Just raise your hand first. I'll call on you. How can we be responsible for each other in the family of God? Anybody want to raise their hand? No one. Serving one another. Is that what we mean by that? Serving one? That's great. Jennifer. Yep. Communicate with one another. Yes. Checking in with people is how you care. Praying with them. Anyone else? Over here. Taylor Dixon. Inviting people. Wow. Great job. Anybody else? One more person. How can we care? How can we be responsible for each other? Okay. Here's what I've been doing this week. I'm going to let you in on a secret that you might be included in the weeks ahead. Several months ago, we had this card made that said, this is our vision. Our vision is that every person is known, cared for, has the opportunity to make a meaningful contribution, okay? So here's what I did this week. I met with like four different people, and in our meeting, what I did is I took the card and I just slid it across the table. It was so cool. I finally had a good idea. And I slid it across the table, and I said, I have three questions for you. I said to each person, I said, first of all, do you feel known? Most importantly, do you feel known by Jesus and by us, okay? And most people, you know, nervously, where's he going with this? Sure, sure, yeah, whatever, okay? By the way, everybody's going to be saying no to coffee offers in the near future, right? And then I would say, okay, this is the question I really have for you. Do you feel like at Journey Church that you feel that you're cared for? You really, every time it was a guy, if they were married, I said, well, how about your spouse? How about your family? Do you guys feel cared for at Journey Church, that we really care for you? And the good news is we were 4 for 4 this week, so let's give it up. 4 for 4, okay? Okay. And then we asked the question is, do you feel like you have an opportunity to make a meaningful contribution? And everybody that I called on that week was already involved, so they said yes. So I thought about that. What is one of our responsibilities as a church family? And I came up with it from our vision, is that one of our responsibilities is that we need to care for each other. Would everybody agree with that? We need to care for each other. Actually, there's a verse I want to show on the presentation here. There's a verse taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. It says it well. And I'll read the verse. It says, so that all the members care for each other. All the members care for who? Each other. Does that verse say that the pastor cares for everyone? Well, he does. Believe me, he does. But how many people know that's everyone getting involved? And what I would love to see at Journey Church, and this church would be so electrifying, this church would be so contagious, if truly every person felt like they were known and knew Jesus, and if every person felt like they cared. And I've been thinking about it, I can really only care effectively. I mean, this was a big week, 4 people sitting at tables. That takes a lot of time, 4 people. That's like one full day of work, 4 people. But here's what's happened. In the body, we're all in this together. We're family. Are we hearing this morning? And our job is, it's not just Pastor Mike caring for everyone. It's everyone caring for each other. It's you caring for somebody else. And I know some people are saying, well, there's no one caring for me. Well, how many people know there's also a spiritual principle? It's called sowing and reaping. That if we sow a good seed, we're going to reap a good seed, a good harvest. Meaning if you sow and you care for others, how many people know that care comes back? And I just want to challenge us as a church. It's our responsibility to care for each other, to care for one another, to be there for one another. And here's why I'm saying this, because this has just been a crazy couple months, and I feel like people are feeling like I'm in this all alone. And all alone shouldn't be happening in the family of God. There should be everybody stepping up and everybody stepping forward to make sure that every person is being cared for. So here's my challenge as we close this morning. I have 2 challenges. Number one, as a part of the family of God, you have a responsibility. We are supposed to take care of, we're supposed to be there and bless our community. I want everyone this week to say, I'm going to do one thing. what is one thing that I can do to bless my community? And I want to challenge everybody to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to not just hear a message. I'm going to live a message. Because James says, hey, don't be just people that hear. Let's be doers. And I want to challenge everyone in this room this morning to say, this week, I'm going to bless somebody outside the family of God. And it may be serving them. It may be meeting a need. It may be all the biggest thing, but the easiest thing is praying for them, going over to talk to a neighbor, crossing the street. Sometimes I think we as a church are better about crossing an ocean to meet a need on a missions trip than we are just about crossing the street to bless a neighbor, to help a neighbor. So I want us to be the family this week, and I want us to bless somebody, to be intentional about blessing someone. And number two, what I want you to do is I want you to reach out and bless somebody right here in our church family. They may be in this room this morning. They may not be in this room. There's a lot of our church family that's not in this room. And one of the things I'm concerned about, some people are getting really, really detached. And I think we need to step up and make sure that we're caring for those people. And here's my challenge for you. How many people know you can text the message probably, what, in 10 seconds? What would it look like if every day, one time a day, you would text somebody from our church family and say, you know what, I'm thinking about you. Or this week, hey, I'm praying for you. Is there something you want me to pray for? What would it look like if we really took on family responsibilities? And I'm not talking difficult things. I'm talking easy, peasy, lemon squeezy things to do. And we begin to look out. I know we have a lady having a surgery tomorrow. Do we know that? We have a lady in our church having surgery tomorrow. We need to be there for her. We need to pray. We need to let people should be texting and saying, we're praying for you tomorrow that everything goes great. Okay? So I just want to challenge us. Let's not just come into a building for 1 hour, and it's going to be an hour today. But we are a family. And the cool thing I like about the family of God is I didn't get to choose my birth family because they're kind of weird people. And I better be careful. I'm going to go visit them tomorrow. I'm going to be gone all week. It's going to be an awesome week, okay? Noel and I are going to go visit my birth family, all these weirdos, okay? And they know I love them. And I know they're watching. You guys are the best, okay? But here's the deal, guys. I didn't get to choose that family. And I tell you what, I have a spectacular family. I have a family full of God-loving people. And I am so blessed. But there's a lot of people in this room or online, they don't have a real healthy family. We didn't get to choose that, but how many people know we got to choose to be in the family of God? We got to choose more specifically to be a part of the Journey Church family. And I want to encourage us, let's go over the top to care for one another, to care for one another, to reach out to one another, to go the extra mile. So how many people will receive those two challenges? Don't raise your hand. How many people will receive those two challenges? I'll bless somebody outside the family of God. I'll bless somebody inside the family of God. And I think it would be great this week if we heard stories of, wow, I got a text today. I got a text today of somebody saying, they love me. They care for me. Don't give up. The best is yet to come. Folks, we're all in this crazy life together. We're family. Amen? You receive God's word today? If you receive God's word, let's all stand to our feet this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Hey, it's not enough, gang, to listen to sermons. It's not enough to listen to sermons. Now we got to live out, carry out the sermon. And I want to encourage you to do this week. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we're in this new family. We've been adopted through Jesus Christ. Lord, we have this new family where you are our Father, God, and you take care of all of our needs. You go before us. The best is yet to come. You give us hope. You give us victory. And Father, I just thank you that we're in this wonderful family where you're in charge, where you're all powerful. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord. May we walk in the blessings that you have for us. May we walk in the responsibilities that you have for us. And let's all pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Family, go out. Let's make a difference. God bless you. Have an awesome week and make it awesome for someone else too. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.